stop it. You were like full of zingers now, and then now that we hit record, you're quiet.
Yeah, no, I was like, everyone's looking at me. Yeah. With their ears. Oh god damn it. I'm gonna, you know, fuck it. Hey, welcome to your weekly Corner Spady. It is me, Kieran, and I am joined by Uma.
Hello.
And Nick.
Hello.
And today we are talking about elections, mostly a little bit of Cyprus and mostly the UK. But first we got to talk about the new trend hitting social circles across the country. You've heard of the meme of your girlfriend asking you, would you still love me if I was a worm? But I think every guy listening to this should go into their group chat with the boys and say, would you commit a false flag for me?
I mean, I know that my day ones would. I have no doubt about that. Yeah. I mean, you know, the circle's small, but it's tight.
Yeah. Circle got smaller. Vision got bigger.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. This is a blink.
This is how I learned to talk to my American friend.
Through blinged out SpongeBob memes. Exactly. I literally was sending these back and forth with a work colleague today.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Yeah, that like image of SpongeBob on the couch, like it's the GTA 5 wait screen.
That fucking rap song that I don't know if it's like a direct lyric for their parody of an existing song where it's like the SpongeBob cast all singing it. It was like, you know, the crab loves money.
Oh, yeah. That was like an Australian rapper that then just like rapped and then like AI'd his voice into the characters. Yeah. It's like one of the very few cases of where I'd be like, oh, well, it's parody. So if you're going to do that, I don't really mind if you're AI. Like, yeah, you had to come up with the lyrics. You can't sound like Mr. Krabs.
I've also seen people just do straight acoustic covers of it where they're doing all the voices as well. So I really appreciate it. I also just love the line, you know, the squid loves guns.
Yeah,
and I'm just
I believe
Squidward would love guns. I like that for him.
But yeah,
I think that's a good like. I think I put that into a tabletop RPG as like a character. It's Squidward but with guns.
You call him Squidward?
Yeah,
Squidward.
No, Squidward.
Oh, thank God! I was like, "What is this? Is this like a Philosopher's Stone ass fucking?"
Okay,
thing?
But like, it probably was Squidward, and it got changed to Ellis Island.
Like, do you guys know what Squidward's name in Spanish is?
I'm so excited to find out.
It can't be worse than in German.
Oh, hang on.
S Squidward.
Juan Calamari. am I close?
Calamardo. What's his name?
Calamardo.
That's great. That's
sounds
good.
Delicious.
In German, it's
when you started saying calamardo, I was like, whoa, he's gonna get it.
What's his last name though?
It's just that.
Oh, he's like Prince
Calamardo. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like Squidward, right?
That's no. Squidward has a last name. It's Squidward Tentacles.
Then I guess Calamardo Tentaculos or something.
I always thought Squidward was his last name, and it was kind of like...
No. Squidward's his first name. Squidward Tentacles. Come on, you guys.
John
God,
Squidward.
How can you... You're coming up
okay, well,
here
when
with...
I first met you, Nick, you were like binge-watching every episode of SpongeBob on your like PlayStation 3.
PlayStation 4, all right? I love SpongeBob, all right?
It's Calamardo Tentaculos. But then I got, because my phone is in Catalan, obviously, I got the, when I put it on Google, I got like the Catalan name, which makes no sense whatsoever. I don't understand. It's Balamar Tentacles. Balamar. That's not a thing. That's not an animal. I don't understand.
They just
Why
gave
is that
him
so
a name?
Weirdly familiar to me?
The German one is funny. He's Tadeusz Tentakeln.
Tadeusz?
Yeah, Tadeusz.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So they made him like, right. Just like an That's old like Bavarian a normal name, man. Though. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tadeusz Tentakel.
What's
oh yeah.
SpongeBob?
So anyway, no, enough SpongeBob yeah, go. Talk. We got to talk about our friends committing domestic terrorism for us.
Yeah. Okay. So, let me pull up my notes because, yeah, I think Nick, you found this, and I was like, oh my goodness. All right, here we go.
I found it, as in, like, I just saw someone post it, and I was like, huh, funny.
Yeah. So this is the State Commissioner for Combating Anti-Semitism in Brandenburg.
In Brandenburg, yeah. This is the dude that has been probably, I think he's, like, been the member of every party that under the sun. Like, former Linke, former FDP.
He just loves politics.
He loves politics.
That is, like, the equivalent of a guy just, like, I don't care which team wins. I just want to see a good game of football.
Yeah, well, how do I know which party I want to be in if I don't try them all out, you know?
So true, fam. All right, so, and we talked about, like, the anti-Semitism ministers being, like, kind of a thing in Germany, but also kind of not, in the sense that, like, correct me if I'm wrong, Nick, but there's one for the whole country. There's one for Baden-Württemberg. There's one for the state of Berlin.
There's one for every state, and then there's the national one. Yes, that's...
I thought it was like airy fairy, because like a bunch of states don't have one, and like Liechtenberg has one in Berlin, as well as Berlin also having one.
You can have the smaller anti-Semitismus-Beauftragter. But if
Klein anti-Semitismus-Beauftragter.
Yeah, well, Klein is actually the big one. You know,
yeah,
hate to break it to you. Herr Klein is the federal anti-Semitism Beauftragte Felix. If I'm not mistaken, every state kind of has one. They're not really, again, it's like the thing of it's like a ceremonial position to just like kind of say like, anti-Semitism bad. Sure, I guess because of the history of this country, you need to have a reminder of that, which is...
And also... It's the history of this country, but we only started doing it in the 90s.
2000s.
Fuck.
It's a Merkel thing. Yeah. The first like appointed anti-Semitismusbeauftragte was from Angela Merkel. So I believe it was like around late 2000s, early 2010s. Don't quote me on that. I mean, quote me on the Merkel thing, because I know that's true. But it is like it's a new thing. It's the whole thing of like the thing I always kind of argue of the current state of Germany's like view of anti-Semitism, what anti-Semitism is, and it's like, you know, vehement pro-Zionist position is a Merkel thing. It's very new.
So there's people who talk about it as just like this, the remembrance theater concept is like only came around to assure other European powers, don't worry about Germany reunifying. Chill.
Yeah.
Look at
two decades later.
Yeah. Look at this guy. Yeah, but isn't it like anyway. So this story focuses on the Brandenburger, Andreas Büttner.
Yeah. He's a very interesting character just alone, without even this being his job. Because as mentioned, he's been, I think, in like four different parties. And
the like big six that we have in this country, basically.
And this is the thing that I always find so funny of that if I'm not mistaken, he's a current member of the FDP.
Give that a Google there, because I'm entirely uncertain of that. It because it's Brandenburg, it just seems CDU to me.
No, he's currently not in a party, but then it says before CDU, FDP, and Die Linke. So
what?
It's so wild.
What a remix. Jesus Christ.
Fresh and hot out the kitchen.
Yeah. So he is currently without a party. But the thing I always find is very funny about him is that
Did he just do the colors? He just did the German flag.
No, he didn't. Die Linke's colors is purple.
No, red.
Eh? No,
purple.
It's red. No,
it's purple.
Red, green.
No, it's purple.
I think it, okay.
It's colors in the sense of the party's colors themselves are red. In the sense of how it is done within like election stuff in Germany, their colors are purple.
Except for red, red, green.
Yeah, but that's like, shut up.
Okay, I know the SPD has better branding.
The SPD is red. You can't have two red. Like, red, red, green is just like colloquial term for it. But yes, it is technically like a purple. So
yeah, okay. All right.
You're not entirely wrong. He did Schwarz, Rot, Gold. Yeah, he loves Germany. And I guess whatever Parteilos color would be, which is gray.
Transparent.
Yeah. The thing that I do love with all this though is that then because he left Die Linke a while ago. And I do love that then like every internet activist still thinks he's a member of Die Linke. So they'll be like, can you believe the silliness of Die Linke? And it's like, I love that no one knows how to do just like a basic search. But it is kind of funny. I don't know. In just like a weird way, like in a cynical way of just like watching the world collapse right now of that. Then it's like all these like absolute dipshits that I follow now on Instagram because I thought they were cool like a year ago or so will post things like, oh, my God, Andreas Büttner, like Linke Mitglied committed a terror attack on himself. I'm like, he did. Like, I mean, like, say what you want about Die Linke, but he has not been in this party since like 2019 or something like that.
We should talk about what happened because we've been burying
it. It rocks. It's so funny. It's so cool because it had been like going on for like 2 years.
So
terrorist attacks for 2 years.
Yeah, he had his friends constantly like send him like threatening messages and stuff, like threatening like mail since like 2024. Yep. It's so funny.
So in the early hours of January 4th, 2026, a fire broke out in a storage shed on Büttner's private property in the town of Templin, north of Berlin. His family was inside the home at the time, though thankfully no one was injured. The incident instantly drew nationwide outrage and international concern due to highly specific details at the scene. Detail number one, there was graffiti, an inverted red triangle spray painted on the front door of the adjacent house. So, yeah, we kind of know what that means. Although, yeah, I'll get to it later. And then the letters. Shortly after the fire, a letter containing a death threat and unidentified gray powder. Which was later deemed harmless, was sent to Büttner's office at the State Parliament of Brandenburg.
So, someone just crushed up a bunch of eyeshadow.
Eyeshadow, washing detergent, something like... various politicians, including the Israeli ambassador to Germany, swiftly condemned the incident, pointing to it as a terrifying escalation of ideologically motivated violent anti-Semitism from radical factions. Büttner himself took to social media stating he was shocked, but vowed he would not be intimidated by jihadist violence. Or just
jihadist?
Yeah, there's something Muslimic.
Yeah, there is. We Germany is France now.
Yeah, this unidentified gray powder has got like Islam written all over it.
Yeah. This yeah, exactly. The anthrax spelt out the shahada.
Okay, yeah. So Germany's general prosecutor took over the case from whatever like bumbling Chief Wiggums they have in Brandenburg looking at this beforehand, I presume. Forensic evidence tracked the perpetrators down, resulting in police raids across the states of Baden-Württemberg and Niedersachsen. The authorities identified two 25-year-old men as the primary suspects. Crucially, these men were not radical political extremists, but rather close personal acquaintances of Büttner. In 2023, Büttner and these two individuals had jointly founded a solar energy company together. Though Büttner has later noted the company has since become inactive when they realized and never realized any actual project. So it's just, hey, have a company.
Wait, how old is this guy?
He's
Büttner.
Yeah, he's in his like 50s.
And he's hanging out with like two 25-year-olds?
Okay.
He's opening a company with two 25-year-olds who were 23 at the time or 22.
Look, Uber, when I'm in my 50s, I want someone to do like an op on me, like some sort of terrorist attack on me. I'm getting that's a young man's game. Like, I'm not like my 50-year-old friends could never set fire to my barn.
Yeah. With their bad knees.
Yeah. There's like a
yeah, they have to
like
go home to their they have to go home to their wives.
Yeah. I feel like there's a comedy of errors, like, movie in this of just, like, one of my mates dies in their own false flag against me. Like, they trip back into the barn they set on fire or something. Anyway. Yeah, so one of these two people is also suspected to be the person who mailed the letter. Okay. So, since this stuff has come out, Butner has maintained that he was entirely in the dark about his friend's actions. Didn't know anything about it.
Sure.
Throw them under their bus. Stating to German media that he's devastated and deeply shocked. He acknowledged that faking of an attack is a severe blow to the actual fight against anti-Semitism, as weaponizing these traumatic symbols, blah, 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 undermines victims of real hate crimes, blah, blah, blah. The investigation into the exact personal or financial motive driving his friends to stage the crime remains ongoing. So that was a lot of Google Translate there. But, yeah, threw them under the bus. Although maybe immediately telling that he was involved because he was like, guys, you know, he just goes to the press being like, you can't fake an anti-Semitic attack. That's so bad, guys. It's like, hang on. Have you just immediately ruled out the possibility that these guys just got shit of, like, were, you know, genuine in their motives? They just happen to also know you. I was like, yeah. So, check in with your boys. Would they do a false flag for you?
This is
check
also like the funniest thing too, is that this is the second case of this happening in Germany recently.
Oh, wasn't that teacher who lied about being attacked?
There was like, exactly, yeah, there was the teacher who lied about being like attacked on the U-Bahn or whatever.
Yeah. There was that musician who went to
absolute dipshit that I forgot about. What's his name? Gil something?
I don't know. I don't know him from his music. I know him from
that,
whining in front of a hotel.
And he won like Germany's like whatever, what's the show called here again? Where it's like Dschungelcamp or whatever, where it's like they're all like celebrities on an island or whatever. It's like their version.
Oh, like Survivor.
Kind of.
I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here.
Exactly.
Of here.
Yeah. In Germany, it's called
Dschungelcamp.
It's called Dschungelcamp. Yeah.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
Orpham, I think, is his name, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. So it's kind of a step up, though, because this requires some orchestration. Like, there's a lot of, okay, there's a fair amount of people in Germany who are willing to just completely fabricate an event solely. Butner here.
For clout, yeah.
Yeah, but Butner here came along with, like, he burnt down a shed he owns with his half his age friends.
Yeah, he's gone girling himself.
He's gone girling.
Not even. He's not doing shit himself, though. At least the woman in Gone Girl was taking care of business herself.
True. Yeah. Yeah. How dare I equate the accomplishments of women to this absolute dullard?
No, but the thing is, it's crazy because what we were saying of, like, would you commit terrorism for your friends? I would if they don't fucking throw me under the bus when we get caught. Like, that's so shitty of him. People half his age, two men half his age, and then he's like, I don't know anything about this.
Yeah, guys, I'm going to be real with you. The various 17-year-olds that are in my group chat, I just don't trust them to do this. To do this for me.
Yeah, Kieran outing himself as a fed just now.
God, yeah, it's only in Germany, hey?
No, I mean, remember, too, there was a similar thing that happened in France, right? I mean, I guess it's not the same level of a false flag thing, but it was that very weird group that went around spraying Stars of David everywhere, like, in support of Israel. And it made it look like that they were anti-Semitic.
Yeah, because everyone thought there were, like, marking places.
They were like, we love what you're doing. Keep it up.
That is so funny.
No, because I think there was a handful of buildings that, like, a Jewish person didn't live in. So then they realized, but they just happened to hit some buildings where Jewish people did live. And wait, hang on.
Yeah, they were like Russian French too. It's like there was such a. I feel that we talked about it on the show. No, years ago.
We almost certainly did. Great stuff. Great stuff.
It's Uma. Just so dumb as well. Sorry, it's just like, no, I keep thinking about it. It's just like, how do you not think, like...
What was the plan here?
What was the plan? Like, it was obvious you were going to get caught. Like, you opened the fucking company with these two guys. We live in, like, states of surveillance. You think, like, how do you not think you're going to get...
I think this is... Well, part of it is, like, when you're kind of ideologically... on the right, status quo conservative, like, all those people are definitely not concerned with surveillance states. They think everything is fine. They don't understand.
Yeah, I guess they're part of it. So they're just like, they're not surveilling me. They're surveilling the others. So it's fine.
And, the post, like, it was all tracked through the post. Like, it was just the sending of the letter that I think apparently tipped it all off. Because, like, you could track that, basically. There was, like, a fucking... my threatening anthrax post had, like, a return address on it.
Yeah, I sent it with my DHL tracking number.
Yeah. Oh, God. So, before we get into talking about the UK, something that we very rarely do on this podcast, because it's gross and I don't want to. Today, we're going to do that, but first I'm just going to quickly run through another island nation that also speaks English and their elections. Yeah, huh? Cyprus speaks English. Cyprus speaks English, unfortunately. It's an official language there.
Oh, it's an official. I mean, but like, it's one of the official languages.
Yeah, absolutely. But like, the average Cypriot person's proficiency in English is like higher than like a Greek person's because of the colonialism stuff.
Fair.
Giant military bases. So they had a legislative election, your kind of like parliament equivalent. Worth reminding people that Cyprus is also like a presidential system. So in 2 years' time, there's going to be a presidential election. And like France, that person matters. So not quite as centralized as France or the United States, but kind of like somewhere between, like, you know, an executive presidency and a completely fucking useless presidency. Anyway, the high level results is that Cyprus has like a two-party system, Dizzy and Ackel. Dizzy is center-right. Ackel is like technically a communist party, but basically is center-left at this point. They're kind of like the duopoly in this country. They held, surprisingly. They both held the same number of seats, even though there's this huge cost of living crisis. There's this huge concern about, like, because Cyprus is sunny and small, that property speculation is getting out of control, particularly by, like, foreign investment funds, blah, blah, blah. People were expecting these two parties to be hurt more. They weren't. They didn't rise. But they held their seats, both of them. I think Ackel technically rose in the amount of votes it got, it just not enough to get more seats. The interesting thing, though, is the president's coalition, a bunch of like centrist parties that the president relies on. This is a Social Democratic EDEC, a centrist DEPA, and the Movement of Ecologists, which is like their green equivalent, all failed to enter the parliament, all lost threshold as kind of like a punishment for the existing government. So they all got fucked. In their place, before we get into the funny stuff,
oh, in no.
their Yeah, unfortunately.
Funny always means shitty.
On this podcast, that's the quarter speed guarantee.
The new presidency, the new ruling party is just gonna be like the Council of Racists, right? Like that's what you're leading to right now.
10.9% of the vote, kind of coming in to replace all those other piddly parties that got chucked out.
Yeah.
Is Elam.
Hooray.
Hooray.
Cypriot Golden Dawn.
Yes. Don't Golden, don't call me Golden Dawn, Dawn.
Like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah. This is the Elam stands for National Popular Front, but obviously in Greek. And yeah, they're bad. They're basic. Nick's right. They're just Golden Dawn in exile, effectively. So yeah, they came in as the third largest political force in the island. They've entered parliament, not for the first time, but like, yeah, by a pretty sizable amount. And yeah. The traditional right-wing bloc, though, is fragmenting, but yeah, Elam is kind of coming in. This might seem like a familiar story to people, but eh. Then I want to talk about the other piddly parties, because the other piddly parties are funny and stupid. So, for the first election ever in Cyprus's history, we got Volt Cyprus.
Oh, can they stop?
What the heck? They're everywhere.
Yeah. They didn't get in to Parliament. They didn't clear the threshold.
Loser.
Yeah. And they ran a very typical Volt campaign, which is to say, like, smug. Like, the real kind of, like, we know we're the best option. You should vote for us. And it's like, all right, buddy.
Sure.
Calm down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Two parties that did get in, though, that are kind of like are being read by the media as you're kind of like, okay, I'm pissed off at the government. Let's just have a bit of a protest vote. Is we have ALMA, which is ALMA, which is Citizens for Cyprus, anti-corruption party led by a auditor, Odysseus Michalides.
Okay, I love that name though.
People are still called Odysseus.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, so he took he absorbed a bunch of voters off the back of a bunch of elite scandals that were happening over the last couple of years. And a handful of like establishment MPs from Ackle and Dizzy have defected into this party as well. So this party has a bit of the juice, possibly. But, you know, it basically got in by the skin of its teeth. And the next thing we have to talk about is ADK, or Direct Democracy Cyprus, which is led by little-known internet personality Phidias, I keep forgetting his last name, Panayiotou? Phidias.
His like Squidward just has the one.
Yeah,
yeah. I was just like, leave it at that. But I do like seeing you pronounce things.
I'm just starting to think like what's like a YouTuber's Game of Thrones style bastard name. Like, it's like Phidias, like, comment, subscribe.
Oh.
Yeah. Or, like, what's a Cypriot bastard name? Like, Phidias Easy Jash. There we go. anyway. Yeah, so he's made his own party. We saw him launch this a while back because he was getting ready for the Cypriot elections. And for anyone who doesn't know, it's the five-star movement again. It's got an app called Agora, and you get on the app and you vote for what your representative should do. You have to upload, it seems dodgy in itself, you have to upload your kind of like equivalent of a national ID in Cyprus to kind of like prove who you are, that you're like, you're real, you're Cypriot, and you live in the district this person like was voted in. so that you can then tell your MP from this party what to do on upcoming votes. A lot of people have pointed out that, one, this has been done multiple times before. Five Star Movement in Italy had something similar. The various pirate parties tried this out, including the Pirate Party of Greece. There's been parties in like state and local politics in Canada as well that have like done something similar. And it doesn't work because all the people... Phidias, first of all, he won a seat in Nicosia, but he's not taking it. He's going to stay as an MEP. And he's giving it to like someone else in the party. And we don't know anything about these other people. I tried looking into it. I was Google translating a bunch of like Cypriot news sources talking about them. There's like nothing beyond like their name is this and they're in this party. And
that's always good news.
Deanna Constantinides and Yanis Lauris are like the only real names I could get. And all we really have on them are they're in the party. Deanna was voted vice president of the party. Yanis is the one taking over the Nicosia district seat for Phidias. All analysis I read about this party coming into parliament is like they are going to get steamrolled by every politician who's been in Cypriot politics since they were like 10.
Sorry. I just had to look up what Phidias' full name is.
Full. Yeah, I mean, his dad is a priest, so
his first and last name. I don't know what his middle name is. And it just, I don't want to be mean, Kieran, but this is like Smith in terms of like Greek last names.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Panagiotou is like just the most. It's like one of the most like common. Like it's such a normal name, and the OU ending is always a Cypriot.
Oh right, okay. Well, anyway, Phidias EasyJet. I'm sticking with that.
Sure. It means the same thing, right? But I was just curious. I'm like, is that what Kieran's trying to say? And I look at him like, oh yeah, that's what Kieran's trying to say.
Yeah.
It's like if you're like
the game. It's the game all the listeners are playing. When
they love it.
Podcast.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just like I wish. Like I don't know. I wanted to keep going.
Yeah.
I want to find other languages that are even harder.
Oh my God. Jesus Christ. So the Agora app also had like a primary, I forgot about this, for all the 56 candidates that ran for this party, that was whittled down from a much larger list by like fucking crazy app voting system.
It's just like you can get you and your friends to vote for yourself to run in the Cypriot party, whatever the list, I guess, for them.
Yeah, it's crazy. The like YouTuber who married an Instagram influencer very recently would run this like a popularity contest. It's nuts, right? Yeah.
I find it crazy too that he's only 26 years old.
Only 26?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always think that he's older than me because he looks very old.
I mean this in the nicest way possible, but some of the photos of him, he has a face that looks like, you know, those Belgian fields that haven't quite recovered from like the trench warfare that happened in World War One. And they're all like weirdly bumpy.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah.
All right. Is that not nice?
I mean, he's a piece of shit, so it's fine.
You
can be mean to pieces of shit. He got married to... How do you know... Why do you keep up so much with his life, Kieran?
It's like
you know that he just married a fucking influencer.
First of all, he's posting it everywhere, all right? Like, again, I think that is a marriage that is not destined to last.
I'm sorry, the fact of his wife...
Two influencers in Cyprus.
Yeah, the fact that his wife's name, which this is, I guess, the normal-ish name of Stiliana, but looks just, she is a influencer. It just looks like her name is Styliana, which to me is very funny.
I'm sure that's how people are pronouncing it. Like non-Cyprus.
Styliana.
I'm almost certainly how I read it. Probably the first time I saw it.
Yeah.
Styliana, and she's a style influencer. Wow. Crazy.
Yeah, exactly. He just gives it with the whole like voting, like the popularity contest thing. He just gives me the vibes of someone who was bullied in school. Like 100%. Yeah, and now that he's kind of made it. Eh?
Because his dad was a priest.
Exactly.
His dad married him. Like to.
Oh my God.
Jesus. He officiated.
That sentence, Kieran. His dad married him.
Yeah, marry is a verb has two meanings, I guess.
My brain short circuited for a second. I was like, excuse me. Yeah, he just gives me vibes of someone who was bullied. And instead of being turning nice, he just turns into like, you know, attention grabbing and like,
yeah,
thinking that everything is like a popularity contest and everything. I don't know.
To answer your question from earlier, how I keep up to him, it's like the only thing that I follow from the Instagram, the Corner Spady Instagram account, is just videos.
Following one video. Yeah,
it's you follow him and like that Arlo guy.
Oh, Addo Thaddeus. Yeah, they're like the only things that come up on the homepage. Jesus
fucking Christ.
Like, I've trained the Reels algorithm to show me just like fucking Eiffel 65 clips, but like, yeah, the homepage is definitely, hey, here are two people you just actually kind of hate. Oh, and that one, like the twink prince or whatever. I sent it.
The weirdo that you sent the other day. Oh my God. Yeah. Did you follow him?
No, I didn't follow him, but I spent a little too long just watching the reels over and over again that the algorithm got a little bit like, oh, you like people talking about demographics in Europe. I was like, I don't, but that guy was just kind of entertaining.
Looking like that as well. Like, it's just the whole package. Jesus Christ. Anyway.
I'll have to post a picture of him on the Instagram so people know what I'm referring to when this episode goes out.
But not the first slide, please. We don't want to like scare people to death.
Yeah, you have to swipe to see this.
Yeah. No,
real heads.
Jump scare.
Yeah. We're turning into a return podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, God. But anyway, speaking of
Ireland
politics.
Nations.
I know I can't complain about the heat because it's guaranteeably a lot hotter where both of you are compared to here. But I've climatized back to Ireland and now it's like, oh, it's above 18. Time to die.
You need to do those TikToks that it's like, when I remember Ireland is an
island nation.
And they like shake their booty and like move their hips.
I was thinking the same thing about Cyprus, actually. Funny that you mentioned that.
Yeah, but Cyprus is actually hot.
And hot, yeah, exactly, I know. But I'm just imagining Phidias, like, you know, throwing it down.
I did piss off a bunch of people recently with a table quiz round that I labeled Island Rhythms. And then, like, when they selected... And it's
the Wolf Tones?
No, yeah, it's all Irish music. It's like Boyzone and shit. Not Boyzone, Westlife.
Oh my God, that's so good.
Did you spell it the Island Rhythms?
No, I spelled it like a good boy. I didn't spell it
like a white person.
I spelled it like a white person, not like another white person like Chet Hanks.
I'm sorry, Greek man. Chet
oh
Hanks?
Yeah, sorry, he's not white. He's Greek.
That's just the Greek way of speaking, Kieran. Don't you know?
Island rhythm. Anyway, we got to talk about the UK and local elections, consequences, what's happening over there.
Yeah, so, oh my God, it's been a while already. It was like on the 7th or 8th of May, start of May, there were local elections. There were a bunch of, I had to cover them for work. I still don't understand how the political system works. I don't understand why there's so many seats, so many people running, so many... I don't know, like councils and stuff like that. But Yeah, so as it was expected, Labour lost big time. They actually lost, which is a crazy amount of people. They lost 1,498 like councillors. Yeah. Which is crazy. It's almost like all of them, all the ones that were up for re-election, almost all of them, they lost. Most of them were won by, not so much by the conservatives, but by the Tories, but by Reform. So Reform had a big surge and winning, basically, and they took over many councils. And they even won, they did like their breakthrough in London, which, you know, London, everywhere around London was pretty much Reform now, but London itself was still, you know, Greens, Labour, bit of Tories, but they even won like a seat there as well. Can't remember exactly, I think it was Barking or something like that. I can't remember exactly the council, or it's not even council because there's like councils, boroughs, like it's so weird. Like my Catalan mind cannot comprehend that.
Yeah, I mean this is the kind of stuff that comes up where you're like, yeah, the UK didn't really break hard with feudalism.
Exactly,
it kept a little bit of it for fun.
No, literally, because what do you mean there's so many people ruling? Like I don't understand, like in the boroughs and the councils and the da 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 da. But yeah, so Starmer, I mean, everybody thought, well, not everybody, most people thought that he was gonna resign basically the next day of the local elections. However, he just doesn't have a successor. Like, there's nobody likable in the Labour Party right now that has some sort of position of power. Either there's nobody likable or, like, known enough to take that position. So he didn't resign. He's holding on. Many MPs, Labour MPs, or, like, ex-ministers did ask him to step down, but it just politically makes no sense. Like, he knows he's finished, for sure. But it just makes no sense because, as I said, there's no clear successor until maybe in June. So now in June, like the second week of June, there's a by-election, whatever that means, because, I don't understand the political system in England, which is in Wakefield or something like that. Which is near Manchester. So there's Andy Burnham is actually... So the whole reason why there's a by-election there is because the MP for that area stepped down so Andy Burnham could run. Andy Burnham is the mayor of Manchester, I believe. Yeah. Or ex-mayor. Mayor, still mayor.
No, I think
ex-MP,
current mayor.
Ex-MP and current mayor.
Yeah.
So
the reason by-elections happen is because, like, mostly is because you can't really hold two offices at once. Like, if he wins this seat, Andy Burnham, then there will have to be a new mayor of Manchester.
Okay,
so that election will happen again. So, like, that's why the by-elections happened here, is because, like, in Galway, Catherine Connolly was TD there. Now she's president. So now we need a new person.
Okay. Yeah, fair. Yeah, I think also because you cannot really contest the prime minister's seat unless you're like an MP, and Burnham is not an MP. Or like it would help in his bid to become prime minister.
You genuinely have to be in parliament. That is a rule. And that's the only difference with like a prime minister versus the chancellor system. Like a chancellor system in Germany, although they never do it, can just be whoever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's it, because the MP for that area was like, okay, Andy Burnham is literally the only choice that we have now. So he stepped down to give him the chance to run to that, to become MP. And then people are saying, the streets are saying that he's going to win. And then there's going to be like a bid for him to become prime minister instead of Keir Starmer. I think it's not going to be like, there's not going to be elections or anything. It's literally just going to be like the whole, you know, Theresa May thing. Just like, they're just going to, yeah, internal. They're just going to switch them. But we will see. I mean, it, obviously, Labour is so far from being a leftist party now that, like, as with everywhere else, actual leftists have moved to different parties, namely the Greens, which also won quite a few. Like, the Greens has had a resurgence now with Zach Polanski. And actually, you know, being active and listening to what the people want. But yeah, so young people, mainly leftist people in general, have moved to the Greens. Right-wing people were already in the Tories and now have moved to Reform. So it's just both Labour and the Conservatives are just so obsolete now. Like, they're just grasping at straws, really.
The Conservatives under Kemi Badenoch have just gone completely insane.
Like, nobody likes her. Nobody.
Nobody likes her.
I mean, obviously, not, but I mean, in the sense of like, nobody cares about her. Nobody really cares about her. Like, she will say something against Starmer in Parliament. There's like, maybe the BBC will report on it because it's the BBC, whatever.
Kind of have to.
But then Farage says something against Starmer and all the media is saying, Nigel Farage slams Keir Starmer. Blah, blah, blah. Like, they're not paying attention. They're not paying attention to the Tories anymore. And even less to what's her name? Badenoch?
Kemi Badenoch, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, like, I can't remember who did it. I want to say it was like the Times did like a piece kind of shadowing her, and it was clear that they, because, you know, the Times is a very conservative paper, clearly trying to make her look good, or they kind of went in with the intention and they and she gave them nothing. Because, like, she just, my understanding is she basically just locks herself in her office and tweets all day. Like, she's,
but she's not even funny like Trump.
But she's totally like, if you want the prime example of social media breaking someone's brain, Kemi Badenoch is a good part, like, exemplar, like, exemplar of whatever that is. Like, it's bad. It's like, this was like, if you had actual friends, you would have had like four interventions at this point. but you don't, because you're a Tory.
Exactly. Because it's like, unfortunately, Farage seems to be, I mean, I wouldn't be charmed by a fucking piece of shit like him, but he seems to be charming. Like, he goes out on the street and talks to people, and every fucking press thing that he did during the elections, he made the journalists laugh, which pisses me off so much. Like, those journalists are stupid as fuck. But the thing, like, that's the thing. He unfortunately seems to know how to be funny or likable or whatever. Like, in the sense of, if you're like a fence sitter, you're gonna be like, oh, but he's, you know, like, if you're right wing and you're met with either Farage, who will be funny, charming, whatever, and then Badenoch, who is just sitting in her office tweeting and doesn't like go out looking at, like, you're gonna be like, oh, okay, so Farage is, because so many people vote, it's like Trump, like, they just like think about who they like as a person instead of like their politics.
Yeah, so it's there's so much to be said about this, because part of it is,
well,
so
also I was just gonna say, and also people are racist and sexist, and Kemi Badenoch is a black woman, so
You know? Yeah. There's aspects of this, like British media in particular has been right wing for a long time, and they've been banging the whole like just very sinister more kind of sound of just like, oh, you're doing violence, I want more. Oh, you're excluding trans people from bathrooms, do it again but harder, please. Like there's just like, they have a media that's just not satiated by anything. At the same time, the media in the UK really loves to be perceived as being correct. Like all of these like conservative papers backed Tony Blair for winning back in like, well, I guess 1997, I think that was, maybe earlier actually, can't quite remember, but like, and that was before it was like obvious to everyone that he was going to be the successor of Thatcher or whatever. Like they just kind of like backed him because it was just so obvious that the tea leaves that he's going to be the next prime minister, and all these papers just want to be seen to be correct.
To predict the future.
Yeah, exactly. And launder the reputation as like, oh, we know what's happening. Mm. So a part of that is it just becomes this vicious cycle type of thing, because I do, like, I will always think about that one time the RTE interviewed Farage and then just played one of his fucking cameo videos back to him of him saying Chuck Yerla. And like, because you know that's what you do with someone on Cameo, especially a politician, is you get him to say like happy birthday huge anus. Like, but he was just stunned into silence. There's an aspect of like, sometimes it seems like he really knows how to play the media, he knows how to play British media, but like he folds like a fucking house of cards.
Never one-on-one. He's very unlikable one-on-one, because it's like an intimate thing that the other person, the journalist, if they're good, they will push back and they will show them facts, and they will be like, actually what you said is a lie, da da da. No, he doesn't. I mean more in like, I guess I just have the image of him outside the council or like the board or whatever that they want in London. Yeah. Just like, you know, hee hee ha ha, kikiing with the journalists. I'm just like, what the fuck are we doing? You know, like why are all these men, because it was male like journalists, cameraman and stuff, like, why are you all laughing at his jokes? Like, what are we losing the plot here? And that's just, I don't know. Yeah. But no, definitely when he's one-on-one, he, if they're not like from fucking GB News or whatever, he falls like a lawn chair.
This is, However, we do have to note a couple of things about reform that are kind of interesting. One is that like a bunch of Tory MPs are just defecting to reform because, again, they also kind of see which way the wind is blowing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because of that, you're going to get a very like, what's that other far right thing that exists now? It's not reform. They gave themselves like, and they're just like posting like,
oh, Britain First?
No, it's not even Britain First. What is it? It's like Restate. It's like another RE something. But they're basically just like, hey, reform's not fascist enough for us. So we're going to like post. They're posters. They post like a bunch of like crusader memes and shit like
What's the, didn't like a reform guy that won, he had a tongue slip and he said like
he called it that party
UKIP. UKIP.
Oh, he is called reform UKIP, did he?
he said UKIP is now here, and it was like, oh, sorry, reform.
Yeah, because UKIP is still technically going, but it was like taken over by a bunch of like far right YouTubers like Sargon of Akkad or whatever.
I mean, they've always been Nazis, but
now
it's more openly so. Yeah.
Far right party UK, there's something that was definitely, oh my god, no, there's so many others, I can't find it now, but there's definitely one that's posting just like
but they might not be even a political party, it's just like
but
like,
yeah,
like Britain First, I don't think it's technically a political party.
No. Oh, maybe.
But they're like there. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
The Yeah, but anyway, those kind of like more conventional Tory politicians are going in and they're going to like muck up the party, and Reform is trying to like do that thing where we see it with like less the AFT, but more like Front National, where they try to like make themselves seem more reasonable, and that just turns all the real far-right headbangers against them of like, oh, you're cucked now, I hate you. Yeah, not good. Not a good thing. Also, now the classic problem of parties that suddenly become very popular is we get a bunch of weirdos wrapped up, which I want to bring up one guy from who's now a Doncaster borough councillor. My namesake, Kieran Leahy.
I thought you were going to say literally your whole name.
My whole name. I was like, he does the English spelling with the K. Kieran Leahy? I don't know how you pronounce it. Leahy? Anyway, he's been requesting that the local council establish a temporary unidentified anomalous phenomenon, or UAP, overview and safety committee. Concerned that there are UFOs, this is the woke way of saying UFOs now, interfering with Doncaster Sheffield Airport, which is not a very big airport, but
no, it's fucking Doncaster. Who is willingly going to Doncaster? Like, that's crazy. I only know about Doncaster because fucking Louis Tomlinson from One Direction is from there.
I am Uma. My knowledge of these, like the UK, is through One Direction.
Literally, yeah. Literally. How else am I gonna know what Bradford is? Like,
no, it shouldn't. I'm from Barcelona. It should be illegal for me to know what Bradford is.
Exactly.
Oh god damn it. Yeah. So we're getting those guys thrown into the party, which is
lovely.
Good fun.
Yeah.
And also just the whole thing of like, this isn't the first council that like Reform has taken over, and the first one they took over, which I want to say was Wolverhampton, I can't quite remember, and they were just like, they've all convinced themselves that all these like councils are spending like billions on like gender neutral bathrooms and pride flags and stuff. And then they finally get in and realize, like, oh, yeah, no council in the UK has any fucking money, because there is, like, there's no local democracy in the country that thinks spending money is fruity or whatever. Like, yeah. I was in, very recently, I was in Newcastle. I flew in there for a wedding. And Newcastle is, like, one of the only cities in the UK that isn't London that has a metro system. And like the guy who did that was like, I think technically a mayor that they brought, that they had shortly, you know, after World War II, and like convinced a bunch of people to like spend money on infrastructure. And I think it was because of him, the British government decided, no, there shall be no local authority anymore. Fuck this guy. And I was like on the metro being like, it's actually quite nice, this metro.
Because he made his constituents' life better. They were like, no, stop that. Cannot do that.
Like, okay. We were talking about Andy Burnham there earlier, and he's like, he's mayor of Manchester, but the modern mayoral system in the UK only happened because of like the IRA. Like, basically the IRA managed to like do the, you know, prolonged campaign that resulted in like Northern Ireland being somewhat autonomous and being able to like govern itself barely, that made the other home nations jealous, which resulted in like a Scottish government and a Welsh government. And then England got pissed off. So as a sop to them, they started making like local mayor systems for relatively big cities that all have like not the same powers as each other. Like, I think Birmingham has a mayor that can do fucking nothing. And then, like, obviously London has a mayor that's quite powerful because it's London. Yeah. Yeah, so it's all dumb. They don't know what they're doing.
it's a shithole. But talking about Britain being a shithole also. So on the 16th of May, there was also a massive fucking rally in London called what was it called? Defend the kingdom.
Unite the kingdom.
Unite the kingdom. Yeah,
because
exactly.
Isn't it copying something that happened in America? It's copying Unite the Right.
Oh yeah, of course, because they can't even be Nazi originally. Like they have to copy whatever Trump and his people do. But it was organized by Tommy Robinson, who, by the way, that's not his real name.
Yeah, what's his real name again? Like, fucking
Stephen Christopher Yaxley Lennon.
That's it. Yeah.
Previously also known as Andrew McMaster or Paul Harris. So, you know, he's just going through names.
I do want to say...
Can I dead name him? Is that okay?
Of course. Call him Stephen.
First, okay, there's two things I want to say with this. Yaxley Lennon is kind of a sick last name.
It's so cool. It's so cool. Like, it's actually, it sounds pretty, I don't know, like, maybe, I don't even know why, I don't know.
It's
just
posh.
Makes sense.
It's to British
he's
people,
he's from Luton, though. He's not posh.
Well, you can have posh people from anywhere in the UK.
Well, yeah, of course, yeah.
But no, like, double-barreled last name, especially the age that he is, which is to say that he had parents.
Yeah, fair.
Who considered having a double-barreled last name. That is like a class signifier in the country obsessed with class.
Yeah.
Like that is why he changes it to Tommy Robinson. It seems more...
so embarrassing. Yeah. We're working class.
But the other thing is, and I will just say this, is the... I did see a Vox Pop from Unite the Kingdom where like one guy was just asking... One of the guys in the Unite the Kingdom... like rally, like full in St. George's Cross, like as a cape kind of shit, walking around and just puts the mic to his face, like, so what do you think of Tommy Robinson? And he just goes, like, but really, I think he's an op. I think he's Israeli.
These people's brains. I love the current state of the right. Because they have
go on, sorry. No, go on.
Like
we can save for the bonus.
They really have like it is the sense of given there's freaks on the left, this and that, but it's at least like the thing that then most leftists can kind of come around and be like, oh yeah, well this is like the nature of capitalism. Because the right doesn't have this, everything is a conspiracy. And you see that, like now that they like have actual power, you know, and they're like taking governments, they're doing this, and they like, as Kieran said, it's like, well, they'll take over the government, and then they realize that there isn't like, you know, the woke mob of immigrants coming in and like ruining the country. Then they've just gone and be like, well, everything's goy slop, and you know, Tommy Robinson is secretly, you know, a Mossad agent. Yeah, it's the people who also too have like, you know, like the Tucker Carlson defender is the same person, you know?
Oh, yeah. I will say, I don't disagree with you, Nick. The thing is, though, he was recently in Israel. He did a whole tour.
He's a Zionist. I know that, like, yeah.
I know. But the thing is, because unfortunately, I follow all these people for work. I'm in
Salute.
Their group chat.
Yeah.
Telegram.
You're cyberbullying Tommy Robinson.
I wish. No, I have to lay low. No, but like, I'm in their group chats in Telegram. And it was fucking hilarious when he was in Israel. Also paid, full paid, sponsored by like that minister of fucking Hasbara, whatever. Nah. That guy. All the comments were just like, what are you doing in Israel? Because all of these people are obviously anti-Semitic. So they were all like, what are you doing in Israel?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Jews are paying you. Da, 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 da. Yeah. So it was hilarious to see him starting like the whole trip, like so happy and like posting everything. And then the posting just started being scaled down because his own followers were going against
it's
him.
Truly funny though, in the sense of who is then the Tommy Robinson supporter that there has just been like it's not that he's like quiet about his opinion on Israel. He loves Israel. He's been a massive Zionist for such a long time. How are you like, oh, I've been a day one Tommy Robinson supporter, I haven't looked at his posts in 3 years?
Yeah.
I think also a lot of people, from what we saw in like Unite the Kingdom rally, they just use him as a gateway to get into like worse.
Yeah, the harder
like,
shit.
Even worse. The harder shit, exactly. Like, it was really funny to see like the people that truly do like Tommy Robinson, and then like the full on, not even hiding, like neo-Nazis at the rally. And then people like journalists would be asking the more quote unquote normal, because they're not normal, but like quote unquote normal people, like, oh, what do you think about neo-Nazis like marching with you? And they're like, well, no, that's not possible. What do you mean? No, we're all just British. It's you know, like we're all just English and just making up like whatever excuses. But yeah,
it's all right. So I will say that there is better minds than me can speak to it, but there is I've been told there is some evidence that suggests that Tommy Robinson is MI5 or MI6 or like an asset of some capacity. There's a lot of like really weird, suspicious, and like not getting investigated for a bunch of stuff he should have been investigated for. Blah, blah, blah.
What you mean that a lot of these people on the right are ops? Like, I mean, like,
possibly.
Like, to be fair, I agree with the sense that the person is like, oh, I think Tommy Robinson's an op. Yeah, sure, that's like very much could very well be a thing. But I don't think it's for the reason that you think so either. Like, it's not for it's not for the sense of like, oh, they're trying to infiltrate and like, you know, like take down the right wing movement. Like, it'd be like infiltrating like the left is. It's like maybe to spread this, you know, maybe to normalize these psychotic politics.
I do think that the interesting thing, and like Tucker Carlson has correctly, again, seeing which way the wind is blowing.
Tucker Carlson, the op of ops, like he literally was in the CIA. Like his main sponsor is an Israel, is a Mossad backed fucking VPN.
I think he's correct though in identifying that a lot of the right wing in the United States, and I think people in the UK are copying to this, of like a lot of the right wing are like, they don't get why they have to support Israel. Like, I think that's truly what it is. Like, yes, Yaxley Lenin was always like the supporter of Israel. He was always a Zionist, but it was like, it was never the forefront, and it wasn't the forefront of the media discussion either in the way that it is.
Yeah. But I think that the Tommy Robinson is actually more honest of the reason of what the West's support of Israel is rather than like an average American's, right? Like, I think the clash of civilizations racist reason is like kind of one of the, like, I mean, yeah, sure, you can do like the geopolitics thing, whatever, you can like, you know, talk yourself until you're blue in the face of it, but like Israel does see itself ideologically as like, you know, an ideological placeholder of the West. Like, that is a big part of their like political ideology. And I think that that's become much more of a truth other than just a sense of, it's like, oh, well, it's an economic reason. It's like, well, the economic reasons don't really mean much. It is it's a geopolitical and ideological foothold in spreading Western influence, you know?
But we can't get into this too much, because we'll be
here.
We have
plenty of other episodes talking about Israel, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Restore Britain was the party I was thinking of.
Oh, yeah. I've seen them around as well.
they have an MP, because it was like founded by like one guy who was already in the House of Commons.
That doesn't count.
No, like, no one has ever voted for this party, if that's what you're saying.
Yes, that's such a cheat code.
Yeah. I mean, that's how, like, UKIP got their MPs. It was, like, people who defected to them. They never actually, like, won seats. Yeah. Oh, God. Anyway. Anything else to say about the UK?
It's a terrible place. It's shithole, as Uma said.
I'm sorry for everybody that has to live there.
Yeah. I'm gonna say, because like this keeps coming up on the internet as like a meme that like a bunch of blue tick people who are like in Indonesia know how to farm rage content get. The food in the UK is actually okay. This whole like the food is bad thing is an American meme by Americans who don't understand that British people don't like their food, and yeah. Or like, It's one of those things of like, oh, British
it's an
cuisine
American, is a very American centered view of the world. Like everything that the Americans
oh yeah say. Yeah yeah, this is like when an American person is like white people and mayonnaise. I'm like, mayonnaise literally exists in every culture, shut up. Or I season my food, and I'm like, you're shut
yeah
up.
All of Europe all does of,
like what are you talking about?
They talk about the word seasoning as if like I'm not entirely certain I know what it means.
No, they use it in a racist term in the U.S. because American fucking white people. Yeah, no, because it's this whole thing of that. Then it's like this dumb stereotype that like white people can't season their food. And so then white people do the thing being like, I'm welcome to the cookout. I season my food. And it's just white people just wanting to be black people.
Or just using it as like, I'm one of the good ones.
I'm one of, I invite me to the cookout. I voted for Obama. You know, that's it. That is the type of, this is so U.S. centric bullshit that then it's like.
The guy from Get Out being like, I would have voted for him a third
exactly.
time.
Exactly. Yeah. That like you can't explain this type of like libbed outside of the U.S.
I got to stop asking Nick about American phenomenons because it's like it's about racism. We're like, of course it is. It's always
always about racism.
Yeah. Anyway, with that, I will catch you on the bonus feed. Ciao, ciao.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.